Hey, well, welcome back to our second episode of the Golf Industry Podcast. Excited to be here. I've got Kyle Taylor, my co-host, on, and we've got a number of esteemed guests here in the second episode that we have from the apparel industries. Kyle, if you don't mind saying hi and introducing our guests, that'd be great.
Sure. We're still in the midst of COVID. Obviously, everyone's working from home. And in the second episode, we wanted to kind of explore the COVID impact on the apparel. It gutted all aspects of the golf industry, but probably no more so than apparel, because it gutted the spring selling season, probably disrupted, as we'll hear, the summer production, maybe even fall designs, winter, et cetera. So we wanted to hear from them. And what was more encouraging and inspirational, really, was some of the stories that these companies, as they began to address the COVID crisis, how they responded with really assisting our healthcare heroes who are on the front line by distributing, manufacturing, getting PPE equipment out in the field. So some brief introductions. Claude Pope from Baldhead Blues, one of my favorite brands in the business because it marries my two passions of surfing and golf. So can't wait to hear from Claude. Then we have Jack Lessing and Billy Drady, the coolest name in golf, Billy Drady. You'll know them from
Drady, actually. It's like Daddy.
Oh.
Drady, Daddy, like, yeah. Daddy.
Daddy, yeah. Now it's more cool because you have street cred.
Yeah, Puff Drady, you know, stuff like that.
Fantastic.
I'm trying not to reveal too much.
Yeah. Well, of course, you got your own label, Be Drady, EPNY, zero restriction, fairway green. So Summit's really big in the golf space. So I thought, Claude, if I could just kick it over to you real quick, over there in the Coastal Carolina area. Of course, you maybe didn't have as many cases as maybe New York or South Florida, but still obviously would impact your business. Take us through how the last 6 weeks have been for you.
Yeah, well, it started off as a complete disaster, like I'm sure it did for everybody else on this panel and everybody in the United States. So, you know, mid-March, the Masters gets canceled, NBA basketball gets canceled. You know, we're delaying orders, we're pushing back orders, we're doing everything we can to try to keep the orders that we had booked for spring. We did extended dating, 60 to 90 days for any accounts that wanted to keep their orders. But, you know, overall, I'd say most of them pretty much just put the pause on taking orders for April and May. So at that point, you know, I've got a staff of about 8 people here. And I didn't want to, you know, fall into the just not work, just sit around for the next 6-8 weeks to see what kind of how this blows over. So, you know, we've been making and manufacturing apparel for about 7 or 8 years. And, you know, we've done product in Peru. We've done product in China. We've done product in India. And so I saw, you know, on the nightly news, essentially, that, you know, the medical supplies were in dire straits in hospitals, elder care centers, a lot of those type of places needed product. So I simply just emailed our suppliers in China and India and asked them if they had any resources for PPE. And we had a very good response, very overwhelming, positive response from kind of the messages that I sent out. It was almost like a viral message where I emailed about 30 or 40 people. Hey, do you guys need this? Do you know anybody? Do you have friends or family that are nurses or doctors or, you know, frontline responders? And it went from 30 or 40 people to probably 400 people in about 2 or 3 days. And so we started bringing in bulk shipments from China for KN95 masks, for disposable masks. We're direct shipping them to elder care centers, to fire stations, you know, first responders, hospitals. And now we've kind of, you know, done that the first 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, we know there's going to be a big need for this, not only in restaurants, but airports and essential businesses, hospitality and tourism. So we're kind of, you know, segueing from still obviously giving our attention to the first responders and people that need the product the most. But, you know, I think this is going to be at least a 6 month to a year thing with, you know, kind of keeping everybody safe.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Did you have any colleagues in the area or other businesses that addressed it the same way or that you teamed up with?
You know, I have a sales team. And so we've reached out to our sales team and we've given them, you know, materials to email out to to their, you know, book of business. And, you know, it's really been, it's been a very positive response. Everybody's, you know, encouraging us and, you know, I think it's building a lot of goodwill for our brand. And I'm sure, you know, the Be Dratty brand, I've seen what you guys are doing also with the Made in America mask. I'm sure you guys are going to get the same kind of positive goodwill towards your brand and your customer base that we're kind of seeing, you know, with our customer base. And so, you know, it started off as let's just try to help as many people as possible. We have the connections. We know the people overseas that make and manufacture this stuff. There's very little margin to be made. It's more just let's get it in and get it to the right people. That was kind of the first priority was just really trying to get that stuff to the first responders. And now it's kind of taken this next step to, okay, first responders seems to be like, you know, the curve is flattening and starting to go down a little bit. Yeah. So now there's going to be a whole lot of other segments that are going to need this product also.
Sure. Jack or Billy, what were the last 6 to 8 weeks like and on your business? And then, you know, talk about how you're able to pivot. I know you had one production facility just converted up in Wisconsin, et cetera.
Yeah. So similarly to Claude, we, you know, mid-March was, you know, everything happened fast, you know, the masks included, but our first step was just to make sure that we got as many of our customers' orders held and communicated with them that, you know, they physically could not take the product. So we had to stop production quickly and communicate both internally and externally. And that's really been our theme throughout, is just communication. And there hasn't been a ton to say. And besides checking in and seeing how folks are doing, which we're starting to, you know, as golf courses open up, be able to have more business conversations at the appropriate time with, you know, different states and so forth. But, you know, we've been just trying to communicate a ton and launch some platforms like an online platform for clubs that we call the Summit Code, which allows shops that are closed to send a promo code to their memberships and get product at a discount with the club logo, and we drop ship it. So things that help that are current, you know, you have to kind of throw out the old way of doing business right now. And I'll let Billy speak to the masks, but certainly from that is the perfect example of say the craziest idea, and it's probably a good one right now. And so I'll let Billy speak to kind of how the masks came to be and where we are with that.
Before I get into the mask, you know, one of the things that I've seen, and I really have nothing to do with it, but, you know, once we got into this, I mean, I've been around enough to have gone through 9/11 and 08 and, you know, you kind of just know when you go through these things, what's coming in terms of a business perspective. Now we'll only know how bad it is, you know, somewhere down the line, but you know that there are going to be cancellations, you know, the customers are going to be struggling. And one of the things that Jack has done, you know, I think it's everyone's almost first instinct when something like this happens and knows what, and you know, what's coming to kind of hide, you know, from your customers and, you know, not want to talk to them because they might say cancel an order. And Jack has actually kind of been exactly the opposite. You know, he's kind of reached out to everybody and let them know that we're here and let them know what we're doing and all this kind of stuff. And it's actually, it's you can just feel that it's transformed our company in their eyes. The fact that, you know, even though we're not trying to sell something or, you know, or trying to prevent a cancellation or something like that, we're just, he was really just checking in and, you know, he came up with this club code thing, which was a great way for them to kind of at least start generating revenue once the golf season gets going. And it, like I said, it goes against most people's instincts and, you know, he kind of just ran right towards it and it was really kind of impressive.
Thank you, Billy.
Just on a side note. The idea to manufacture masks, you know, our facility in Wisconsin is a warehouse that we ship out of for the four different brands. And it's a we have, you know, 100 embroidery machines and some heat sealing machines that we use to seal off the back of the logos for our waterproof product. You know, when the companies merged together, you know, you had to get a if you were going to embroider Gore products, you had to be able to heat seal the logos to their specifications so that it maintained the waterproof integrity. So we have these, you know, these top-notch heat sealing machines in Wisconsin. And when we had gotten a note from one of our customers via our customer service that just suggesting that, you know, there are some apparel companies that are going to start making masks. And I think it was on a Thursday or Friday, kind of got into my head a little bit, really just because I was feeling helpless. You know, we were all sitting around and trying to remain busy. But you, at a point, you felt really like, all right, the world is changing in front of me and I'm not doing anything about it. I'm kind of just sitting here, you know. And so it kind of got under my skin to try and do something with the mask. So over the weekend, I went out and bought some HEPA filters and started cutting up old shirts and shorts and stuff like that, and made a couple of prototypes. Jack and I had a conversation, I think it was on Sunday or Monday, and then we brought it to our executive team to try and make masks out of our Wisconsin facility using those embroidery machines and the heat sealing machines. And so I had sent the prototype on Monday. By Tuesday, they had created their own prototype. I would say by Friday, we were making masks, you know. And so at this point, Jack, I think the number we've kind of backed down to is what, 1,500 masks a day?
Yeah.
And so we've been making
5,000 since we started.
Yeah, in a month's time. And, you know, that's really using all of our own production fabric. So, you know, for a while we were literally cutting up garments, which is like ripping up dollar bills, you know, because it's not the most efficient way to cut fabric to make it into a mask. But since then, we've been able to get, you know, some fabric from our cut, make, and trim facilities before they went into garments to start making them into masks. And, you know, I made a couple of prototypes, but our Wisconsin facility has really run with it, and they've done just an unbelievable job in continue to innovate the products. You know, we've since then made a couple investments in some machinery to kind of streamline the process and be more in line with typical mask production. It's been incredible to see people rally around the cause, and we've gotten great great feedback from customers and just the general public. It's been quite inspirational.
Claude, I think you started to ask something there.
Yeah, I was, Billy actually did touch on it. I was more just wondering about what material you were using, if it was, you know, Oxford material or polo material, or, you know, what kind of shirts did you actually cut up and turn, make the masks out of?
Well, you know, with we actually had a good selection of fabric to choose from. So we would use a poly spandex blend on the outside. We had a lining on the inside, and then we put cotton piqué on the inside. So what we had read about was that you don't want to have the man-made fibers near your skin because of the condensation. It doesn't absorb any of the moisture. So the piqué ended up being really perfect for that. And you know, it's, you know, we make stuff every single day to be waterproof, you know, and a lot of the technology and the way of thinking is very similar when you're trying to keep water out and trying to keep, you know, elements, you know, whether it be, you know, viruses or whatever out. It's kind of a similar principle, you know. So, you know, we think in that way already, and like I said, we had some of the machinery to execute against it. So
I have kind of a related question here. It comes up for me quite a bit that being on the tech side of the golf industry, we'll tend to talk in terminology sometimes that's not really layman's terms. So what it boils down to me is we're going to have some listeners that are out there that are across all different parts of the industry, even down to just people playing golf. And I know my club opened back up and we don't have to wear a mask as long as we are outside of 6 feet apart from each other, but we have to have one at the ready that if we want to go into the clubhouse or into the locker room, or we happen to be within 6 feet of somebody that is not a household member or whatever it may be. The thing here in Southern California, well, it's kind of twofold, is one, it just gets kind of hot and uncomfortable wearing a mask, really. I mean, I realize that seems like a pretty stupid thing to say, really, given the whole situation. Like, oh, I'm not comfortable because I'm hot. But then there's also the sun factor of, you know, what are we going to look like? You know, I live in the vanity capital of the world, probably here in Southern California. We're going to walk around with, you know, suntans through here and white bands across our face. So is there anything in materials that you guys in kind of layman's terms are addressing to that it's a little bit cooler, a little bit more breathable when a consumer is looking for a mask to purchase, that we purchase that material? And is there anything that maybe lets a little bit of sun through also to even things out a little bit? I don't know if that's a dumb thing to ask at this point or not.
Well, all the fabrics that we use have a UPF of 50. So there is some sun protection, not necessarily sun, you know, letting sun in.
Right.
Kind of how we have layered the fabrics with the man-made fibers on the outside, which are a little bit more densely knit to block out the virus from the outside. And then you've got the filter and then the natural fibers near your skin so that the moisture from your breath actually gets absorbed a little bit. And hopefully over time, it'll have a chance to, you know, to dry out. But the truth is that it's not comfortable for anybody.
Right.
You know, right. We're not meant to be walking around like this. And I think the more you can have something natural against your skin, the more it's going to be comfortable. But the whole thing about keeping everything out, it's not going to be a comfortable experience. And my wife gets literally claustrophobic when she puts it on. We're talking like minutes, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It's just everyone reacts to it a little differently. Because now it's become a fashion accessory. I've got my own that I kind of wear around town. And it kind of looks like a bandana. And I was walking past two kids the other day. Girl, she's about 4 years old. She goes, "Mommy, look, a bandit." Because I had to, you know, I look like a robber.
Be dratty, coming to town. Look out.
Yeah.
Well, that you sort of touched on what may be a larger trend here. The airlines are expected to require all passengers to wear a mask. Is there, if this is sort of a long-term play where we don't have a vaccine till this time next year, is this a long-term play for you guys to assist with either mass production or maybe even incorporate it into your line? Or was this, if you saw an immediate need and you jumped in and kudos for doing that?
Jack, you want to jump on that?
Well, I'll follow you.
Yeah. So, we're doing something a little bit different than the Summit Brands and Bedratti. So most of our masks are, you know, more hospital grade masks, or they're more, you know, for dentists or orthodontists. But, you know, obviously regular employees can wear that kind of stuff also, and essential workers. But we've done some. Actually, we have a production run going right now of about 22,000 masks in Peru that are going to be cotton-based, like kind of what Mr. Dratty was just saying, with a little layer of polyester in there. And we're going to get those in more for like our corporate side. So we have a lot of corporate clients, car dealerships, churches, school systems that are going to want kind of like a branded mask, essentially. So we're getting in about 22,000 of just either solid black or solid navy masks that are going to be able to have a logo added to them. So I wouldn't really call them fashion masks, because they're not going to be patterns or prints or any of that stuff. I think that, you know, having some opportunity to have a cotton-based mask versus you know, a hospital grade mask is certainly nice to have both options. we are seeing that, you know, we're going to carry this at least for the next 6 months to a year. You know, if a vaccine comes quicker, then yeah, I'm sure that'll really slow the production down. But we've had a lot of demand for all this stuff. So we've already got pre-commitments on a lot of that 22,000 for promotional companies around the Carolinas that want them to send out to their customers. So we are doing one. I'm not going to put my logo on it. It's not going to be a Bald Head Blues branded mask, so to speak, but it is going to be a blank mask that we could add somebody else's business logo to it.
Come on, the new swag.
I want the surfboard right across.
The new swag. The handout at our PGA show booths, we're handing out a mask with our logo on it instead of a, you know, a stress ball or something like that.
Everybody at the August show is going to be handing out masks.
Yeah. Jack, do you have anything to add in there to what Claude had to say?
Yeah, so I'm based in New York City, and one of the things I keep picturing is I've been out of the city for month and a half or so, but I can just picture walking down Fifth Avenue, and it's going to be what type of mask do you have, and right. What are the bells and whistles to it? And usually when that happens in New York, it spreads across the country. So even as you know, if we're going to be wearing masks, I know it's sort of mandated here in New York, you may as well have your own touch to it. So similarly to Claude, the corporate interest has been, you know, as their insurance companies and even banks, and we've sold tens of thousands of masks to corporations as they look to open up to have them and brand them with, you know, the bank logo or the insurance company logo on there. Just as I think it's going to be like having your cell phone, your wallet, and for a period of time, you're going to have a mask in your back pocket. Right. And we all look forward to the day where that's not the case. But I think in the meantime, the American spirit is people are going to get creative with it and try and make a statement. At least that's our feeling.
Can you, one question that came to mind that I had through this is, as you guys have pivoted, you know, basically adjusting operations from what they would have normally been, ending Q1, moving into Q2, really into the golf season, you know, for most of our clients, what impact has this had business-wise for you guys, keeping people employed, revenue, a lot of those things? By making the pivot, has it at least gotten you to some level of stability to get through the summertime, keeping things somewhat healthy fiscally? Or, you know, what can you share as far as that goes?
Yeah, I'll give some color on our side. It's the best thing that it's allowed is to keep people working. And I think Claude would, you know, as the same sentiment. It's we have about 75 employees in Wisconsin, and we haven't had much green golf demand. So without producing these masks, we would not be able to be at the, you know, employ as many people as we have been able to throughout. So that's been the main positive. As far as profitability and for the most part, it's been cutting up inventory. And so the profit margin is not really there. And between donations and the way we priced it, it's not a money maker, but it's certainly from a morale and being able right. to, you know, stay in front of our customers with something that's not bad news to be able to talk about is, I think has a value that, you know, may not be in dollars and cents, but certainly in spirit has been there.
100%. Yeah.
So, our experience has been that, yeah, we've kept everybody who was employed before the pandemic still employed now. So it has kind of helped cash flow our business. It has helped keep revenue coming in. I do have two retail stores that I own on Bald Head Island. So both of those have been closed for about a month and a half now. So that's been probably the biggest challenge is the loss of revenue from those two retail stores. But the masks have helped offset some of that. And we've been able to, you know, stay positive and kind of get through this with keeping everybody employed without furloughing anybody or laying anybody off. We did apply for the PPP. I'm sure you guys did also, but we got it for payroll protection plan, and you know, we're, I think we're going to be okay. And you know, I'm looking towards the future, and I'm happy that we were able to do this pivot. And I was happy that, you know, it's kept everybody's morale high. And I was happy that, you know, we haven't had to lay anybody off. I've still been sending my hourly employees a little bit of cash down at the beach, just to kind of keep them ready, you know, on sitting on ready for, you know, we're supposed to actually open up this Saturday is our first day back in North Carolina. So, we already have plans in place to be open Saturday, limit the number of people in both retail stores, and, you know, try to get used to this phase one of the new normal.
Right. Right. On the, not the retail side of thing, on the wholesale side of things, as we were, I think the latest NGF numbers is they're projecting by May 17th, 90% of golf courses are going to be open back up again. Are you starting to see a little bit of a turn in the tide and orders starting to flow in, anything like that yet? Or what are you guys forecasting there?
You talking to me again?
Any one of you, I guess. What are you hearing from golf courses right now? Are they even talking in terms of stocking up shops yet, or anything along those lines?
Pleasantly surprised this week. Was really the first week I've had any kind of interest from any golf courses, so to speak. And that's mostly been around the Carolinas, South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina. We actually got some orders that were on hold and said, hey, okay, we're going to take them now June 1st instead of May 1st or April 15th when they were due. So right. We have had three or four courses start to reach out to us. And it's not a lot, but it's better than what it was the last 5 weeks. So, I think it's going to start picking up. And, you know, as soon as phase one kind of clears out, then I think a lot of these shops will open up. I think there'll be a lot of discounts. I think there'll be a lot of people selling closeout product, especially in July and August. You know, there's going to be deals to be had because, you know, not only us, but I'm sure the Bedratti brand and Summit brands and Oxford Golf and Peter Millar, all those people are sitting on a ton of inventory. So people are going to want to sell that and get their money back and kind of look forward to the next season.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. I think just in the last 5 days, the sentiment has changed, and really the only measuring stick so far has been, are you open or not? And now it's, yes, I'm open, and we have never been busier by about 6x. Wow. Just on a pure golf. So I think that I personally, I'm definitely an eternal optimist, but I think that golf as an industry on the other side of this is going to be seen in a whole new light, because there had been this early of, you know, how can you play 4 hours and have, you know, not be on your phone, and how can you do that in this modern age? And I think this has shown people that it's the best possible thing for your psyche, right, getting away from your phone. And so I think golf on the other side, it's not going to be, to Claude's point, there's going to be some challenges for each brand and how they navigate inventory and work with their partners. But I'm definitely bullish on the industry at large as things open up. And I think June 1st is what we're seeing too, is the first kind of wave of orders going out.
Cool. This episode one, we had some course operators on there, and they were talking about some of the challenges they faced and how they responded with unique, you know, pricing options and membership options. And as a result, you know, like you said, Jack, they're 2, 3, 4 times, 6 times busier than usual. So ironically, those courses that are just now opening or stayed open are going to probably reap some benefits. On behalf of the industry, I just want to kind of thank you guys for participating in the roundtable. I don't, if you've got anything else, feel free. We had a number of apparel companies, not just you guys, that are responding. So the whole industry really stepped up to help the frontline healthcare heroes. So I appreciate everything, all aspects of our industry. I want to give a shout out to Matt Pullett of PTE Golf. He wasn't able to dial in today, but they're an accessories company and they do actual manufacturing. So they actually made those kind of surgical face shields, the PETG face shields for hospital workers. So you know, kudos and shout out to them as well. We'll get him on a future episode. If there's not anything else for the group, I think we just want to say thank you.